Om Ajnanatimirannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
You have that. That's the most valuable thing you can get in your life, is that individual victory that you have in purposefully sitting down to chant japa. And even if you get one mantra where you feel you've fully invested your heart and your mind and you're calling out to Krishna, then that can change your entire life. Now, new people might come in, so we need somebody to make sure that they feel part of this group, unless they would like not to be. So you can be in charge of hospitality management. It means find out what people want and need and then accommodate them, okay? So let's chant a little bit together. I've found that when you form a japa circle and sit together and chant, then the collective energy of the group can help. So if you don't have a japa bead, then you know how to count, right, on your fingers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Starting. Okay. What's that? Please put the Maha Mantra up. Here's it. Watch this. This is 1, 2, 3. Okay. Middle segment of your ring finger, then bottom segment, then bottom of the little finger. That's 1, 2, 3. Then middle, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then come back here. Right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What's your name? Venkatesh. Hare Krishna. Could be better than that. So, now the first important point is, and you'll read this in the Adi Lila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita for chanting Hare Krishna, is that you have to start with the Panchatattva mantra. Put that up, please. There's no possibility of chanting Hare Krishna in this age of Kali without proceeding with the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his four associates who came to liberally spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. They're one, that's one Krishna, but divided into his various aspects. Lord Nityananda, who's to his left in blue, is his first expansion as Balaram. And then Gadadhar, who's to his left, who looks a little youngish there. usually he has gray hair because he's older. Is also one of Krishna's expansions, plenary expansions as Mahavishnu. Then you have Gadadhar to his right, who's an expansion of his energy, the internal potency, as Rishimati Radharani, and also you have the living entity potency, Shrivas Pandit, pure devotee. So, when we say their names, that Krishna's in this form is known as Namo Mahavaranyaya Avatar. He's the most magnanimous of all the avatars, and he gives the pure chanting of the holy names. So let's begin by saying together, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda. And what I've found helpful in chanting my own japa is to make sure that I'm centered before I start chanting. And that is to take a moment or at least a few seconds to remember where you are and why you're doing this, and to make your intention. So the intention can be as simple as, please, my Lord, inspire me to chant with full sincerity and surrender. Or one can make a prayer that, by my chanting, please engage me in your service. Please give me the best of association and the strength to take advantage of it. But if you make a prayer before you start chanting, and then And after all, the chanting of Hare Krishna is a prayer, saying, "Oh my Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service." So just take 15 seconds to think within yourself of why you're chanting and make your intention. And now we're going to chant the japa of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so you repeat the name audibly so you can hear it yourself. But it's not kirtan, so you don't have to broadcast it so that everybody else hears it really loudly. And we're just going to chant for a few minutes. So don't worry about measuring or getting to the end of your beads. After all, these beads are in a circle. Please come join us. Give him a hospitality manager, give him a spot. You don't have to worry about finishing because you'll never be finished with this process. I mean, actually, you do have to worry about finishing your 16 rounds because there's such a thing as numerical strength. But right now, don't worry about going fast or trying to, you know, get mileage on your beads or something like that. Just try to be fully aware that you're chanting and be prayerful. Prayerful and aware when chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let's stop for just a minute and take some reflections just about the process of getting into place to chant japa and any thoughts you have about the chanting that you've done so far. Yes. Microphone. Turn that down, please. Turn it down.
In the beginning you said like make a prayers to be in a presence and be conscious. So when I was doing, I was, you know, like in some mantras, I was able to, you know, hear, you know, complete mantras, you know, with focus. So attention was really helpful on this one.
So how did that make you feel?
so that I am aware of like what I am doing right now, and that was giving the feelings.
Nice. So you could see the whole mantra go by, and yes. We're aware of it.
Yeah.
That's the objective, is to be fully aware that you're chanting, and actually notice that you're chanting and hear the mantra. Because the mantra is Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna and the mantra. Apana samsritim goran yanama vivishogranan tatasadyo vimucheta yad bibheti swayam bayam. Bhagavatam says in the very first chapter that there's absolutely no difference between Krishna and his name. And the mantra is a spiritual formula. It's perfect. You don't have to worry about it. It's prescribed and given by the right authorities, the right doctors. Anichi ashauti maya nashi barulagi. When you go to the doctor, he says, take this medicine, you'll be better. So same way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given this particular medicine. So you can just invest, feel free to invest your full consciousness and attention in just trying to hear the mantra. You don't even have to speculate about what it is. Mantra will reveal itself to you. Thank you. What else? Experiences.
I can see, feel right away the difference when we do it in the circle and so many devotees. So connection established faster.
Yes.
Much faster.
It's another way of being conscious when there are others around us and we're doing it deliberately. This is one of the points about practice. When you do something very deliberately, then you can be fully aware of what you're doing and make a quicker progress. And when there are others around who are doing it at the same time, it makes us more deliberate. Sometimes if one's alone, the mind can play tricks and offer us various distractions and things like that. It is helpful. Strength in numbers, right? So one of the tips is if you can find at various intervals a japa circle to sit in, others that you can sit with and chant japa who are very fixed, you'll also feel yourself pulled back. I spent a month in Govardhan with His Holiness Indra Dumna Maharaj, and every morning we chant japa together. There's these little huts on top of the Govardhan ashram. And I remember the experience because it really helped my japa, sitting together with the God brother who was very intensely focused. And then with that association, I became more aware of my chanting and more focused. What else? Yeah.
I noticed my, as usual, flickering mind. It was going here and there and thinking of other services today. But with the association of the devotees, I could come back. So I was going out, but I could come back and try to concentrate my mind on the mantra.
Nice. And that's what Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita in the section on meditation. And this is a kind of meditation. In the Gita 6th chapter, Dhyan, Yoga, he says that wherever the mind wanders, bring it back to the self. So you just keep bringing it back. So you can think of this as an exercise, not that your mind will be completely fixed until there's a sense of love. When there's a sense of love, then it's spontaneous. Like when you love somebody, your mind becomes attached and you can't stop thinking of the person. So that's a higher level. But in the beginning of practice, one actually has to bring the mind back and say, no, see, it's right here. Bring it back. And you have to be inventive. And that is, any way that you can coax it to come back, then keep doing that. In any environment that you can create that you find helpful, and that may change from week to week or day to day, that helps you to do that. Try to seek that environment. What else? Yes.
Maharaj, just before the session you asked us to pray and then say that, oh my Lord, please give me the best of association and the strength so that we can take advantage of the association. So that really helped, and that really helped in setting the mood. So I'm going to try that every time.
What way do you think that it helped?
It actually, initially, if we just, it's the mood and why the reason, why we are doing what we are doing.
Reason, that's a good idea. So this, it is a prayer. We're praying to Krishna. And if you have a strong reason you're praying, and you fix your mind on that as you chant, it can be very helpful. Thank you very much.
I would like to say this is so grateful to sit with you and chant. That is such a good feeling and good experience. When I chant, I go through the Krishna and the mantra, and also with the person who is chanting that mantra, I start seeing when I listen that mantra.
So if I understood you correctly, while you're chanting, you're observing yourself that you're chanting, noticing.
Yes.
That's good. It's a main point we're coming back to is be aware that you're chanting, because it's altogether possible to chant and not be aware that you're chanting, and that's distracted chanting, or it's chanting that's not fully effective. What else?
sometimes when I'm chanting and I do get absorbed in hearing, I really am hearing Hare Krishna, and like you said, two syllables at a time. To focus just on two syllables at a time, and sometimes I'm really hearing it, but I feel like my prayerful mood is goes away somehow or another when I'm really focusing on chanting, and I feel like I'm hearing very intently that my prayerful, I don't feel the prayerful mood coming.
Yeah, and I can really relate to that because, as I said, learning takes place in struggle, and this is a fight. So one has to do whatever one can to remain fully conscious and aware. And as far as being prayerful goes, what I've found in my japa practice is that I pray to be prayful. And that is, I may start off with that sankalpa, that please let me become prayerful as I chant. If you can't actually be prayerful, then pray to be prayerful. And keep looking for that sincerity. There's a game called Where's Waldo? I don't know how it's played, but I think there's this little character named Waldo, and he gets hidden somewhere, and people are always looking for him. And so there's this game you can play while you're chanting japa, and that's where's my sincerity? It's hidden somewhere. It's hidden somewhere in there, and every once in a while it can come out. And so praying to find my sincerity can be very helpful. So if you're not prayerful, pray to be prayerful. What else?
I think in the beginning you mentioned that one should just be aware of the chanting. And I was just having this experience that the one mantra that I was aware, and it just gave so much, the satisfaction, actually, more peace that I heard it, because it felt like I didn't hear anything else, that all the other 12 rounds were done before that, but when that time, and I had taken a break and started chanting, and then I felt aware of it, because that's what you had mentioned in your class a few weeks back. And the 12 round didn't seem anything but one just mantra where the awareness was there. It felt like a present of awareness. It just gave so much more meaning to it.
This is a very helpful comment, and there's one of the reasons that we say it's important to have numerical strength to keep doing at least minimum 16, if you've made that vow, and if you haven't, then at some minimum, it doesn't matter what you start with, but something has to be there that you say, I don't go below this. Because you may, from day to day, your experience will vary, and there's a way in which oftentimes after 12 rounds, 14 rounds, 15 and a half, 15 and three quarters rounds, that's when you'll actually hear one mantra. And it makes the whole experience worth it. It's like if you're breaking a stone, you may hit it 100 times, and then 101st time, it actually cracks. What you don't know is there's micro fissures within the stone every time you hit it that you didn't see before, and then finally it opens up. I substantiate that concept with the Padma Purana that says, Namaparada yukta nam nam nye vanta haranti gam. I'll start over again, I'm sorry. Namaparada yukta nam nam nye vanta Namaparada yuktanam, please bring out the shloka book, someone. We've got to look at that verse. Namaparada yuktanam, nanmyevata harantyagam, avishani prayuktani. It's escaping me now, but the meaning of the verse that we'll see in just a second is that if you're chanting offensively, which often means distracted chanting, then the remedy is to continue chanting. Don't stop. Keep going. Because namabhas is so powerful. That is, if you're chanting without offense, then the light of the holy name will come through and purify the consciousness and give you such a great advantage. Thank you very much. This is from the Padma Purana. Namaparada yuktanam namanyeva harantyagam avishranti prayuktani tanyevarta karanicha. The chanting of Hare Krishna is recommended for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again. So important to keep going, no matter what you think your mind is, or no matter what nefarious activities your mind is up to, is keep going and depend on the mantra to help win the day. And if you can come to that point of hearing even a fraction of a mantra, by the time you finish your japa, it's a great victory. And even if you don't have a breakthrough experience, you may later. Sometimes devotees describe how they're chanting and chanting and they're feeling, I didn't really break through. And then later they'll get up and go do the laundry and they're standing there and go, oh, I see the world differently. I was affected by the holy name. And what are some of those effects? It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jane Yashu Vairagnam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam, that one feels detachment from the world that wasn't there before. How do you get that? You can't buy it at the Rite Aid or something like that. But if you actually get the real substance, then you'll feel detached from things that are insignificant, and the whole world is actually insignificant. And you'll have knowledge, that is a sense that I'm different from this material body and so forth. And that comes from the power of chanting. So this is an introduction to the chanting of japa. We've had the experience that if you purposefully sit down by yourself or with others and do the best you can to concentrate your mind through prayerful chanting, purposeful chanting, then and you keep going, remembering by supportive information that you get from the scriptures and from sadhus, that this is the most important of all activities. And this has to go on along with the regular practice of chanting to remind one that there's nothing more important. Now, this is a perfect segue because just as I was saying this, a couple of sadhus walked in. One of them is going to give us a talk from a very important verse from the Padyavali about the holy name, which will describe to you the various glorious features of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And by hearing that again and again, this kind of information, that there's nothing more important than the holy name in all the three worlds, then the mind may be inclined to at least try it. Let me take a few minutes to suspend my frenetic activity of searching the world for something to satisfy me. The mind's constantly looking for an object to rest upon that will satisfy it, and never finding it here in the material world. But Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu, who has studied the science of Krishna consciousness for 40 years, and who has cultivated a deep appreciation for bhakti through his own practice, will now come up here and speak to us from the Shastra and from his deep Shastric knowledge about the potency of the holy name and its glories. But I think he'll need a little encouragement to come up here because he's very humble.
Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the chief disciple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the 16th century compiled a collection of some 400 or so verses from various sources in the Shastra and from various poets as well. All of them have one thing in common, which is that they glorify Lord Krishna, and in different categories they glorify Lord Krishna. In fact, some of those verses that he quotes from various poets, if they don't explicitly glorify Krishna, then Srila Rupa Goswami changed that verse so such that it did explicitly glorify Krishna. But this kind of thing is authorized in Vaishnava tradition. So one of the many topics that he glorifies in the Padyavali is the worship of Lord Krishna, of course. And primary aspect of that worship, the primary aspect of that worship, is chanting the holy name. So tonight we can reflect a little bit on text number 19 of Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, which I can recite for you. Kalyananam nidhanam kalimalamathanam pavanam pavananam Pateyam yan mumukshoho sapati pada pada praptaye prochyamanam Vishramasthanam ekam kavivara vachasam jivanam sajjananam Bijam dharamadramasya prabhavatu bhavatam bhutaye krishnanama. This means, may the holy name of Krishna, which is a repository of auspiciousness, which destroys the filth of the Kali age, and which is the purifier of purifiers, which for those seeking liberation is declared as the provision for quickly attaining a transcendental position, and which is the life of the virtuous, and the one repose, in the words of the greatest poets, and the seed of the tree of dharma, may that holy name of Krishna grant you all good fortune. So, kalyanam nidhanam means it's the very repository of all auspiciousness. Kalyana means the source of all auspiciousness, according to one commentator. This is an anonymous poem. We don't know who wrote the poem, but it's quoted in Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. So, in this poem, he elucidates the glory of the holy name as Lord Krishna, being Lord Krishna, who is the repository of all qualities, especially for those who are performing bhajan, and he solicits blessings for all of them. So there are two kinds of people in the world, those who are seeking after mukti or moksha, and those who are just interested in material enjoyment. That's called karma and gyan. These are the only two things that happen in the material world. Karma is a mode of exploiting the Lord's resources, or sometimes when they become sahajiyas, they try to exploit the Lord directly. But that's all within the realm of karma. And gyan is the desire to escape the mess that we create by that process. When we engage in either virtuous or pious activities, we cement our relationship with this material world. We oblige ourselves to come back again into another material body, in all of which we have to suffer in so many ways. Birth, death, old age, disease, the threefold miseries of material existence, one way or another. And so that causes us problems, actually. Our own activities cause us problems. And then when we become overwhelmed by the problems that we cause by our own activities, then we desire to escape those reactions. It's natural. So that's called mukti or moksha. And the cultivation of gyan or spiritual knowledge, that's really, it's ultimately aimed at that endeavor, to become freed from suffering. Nobody wants to cultivate knowledge that will perpetuate your suffering. We all want to become free from suffering. So that's karma and gyan. Now, bhakti is above these things. Rupa Goswami has defined bhakti in his Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu as anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavratam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruttama. Transcendental bhakti, that is to say, pure devotional service, means that there's no desire for this kind of jnana, any kind of jnana, and there's no desire for the karma that precipitates that desire for jnana also. So no karma, no jnana. Bhakti is a transcendental karma, it's transcendental jnana, and it's meant only for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. So for those who are aspiring for liberation, he is illustrating the glory of this chanting process. And for those who, especially those who want to find some transcendental position in the devotional service of the Lord, he's glorifying the holy name in seven ways. If we can have the verse on the board, remain on the board, that's very good, because I'm going to return to the words again and again and again. So the first thing we mentioned, kalyananam nidhanam, that means kalyana is the original cause of something that's auspicious, something shubha, kalyanam. And the reason it's the reason the holy name is the original cause of all auspiciousness is because without even purification of our karma through mantras or through tantras, tantra means here regulations, rules and regulations, and so on, the holy name purifies all of our action. It gives the results of having performed so many pious activities. That's why we say it's punya shravana kirtanam. It's virtual punya, spiritual punya. But it affects all auspiciousness. In Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has described that there are six excellences of love of Godhead, and two of them ensue immediately as soon as we adopt the process of sadhana bhakti. Does anybody know what those two are? Yes, kleshagni. It destroys all of our sufferings, and shubhada, it bestows upon us auspiciousness. This is the active ingredient of all things karmic, and by karma here I mean dharma, because if it's not karma in the sense of dharma, then that means it's karma in the sense of adharma, or papa, and it causes us further suffering. So, if the holy name is the active ingredient of karma, then obviously there's no need for karma when we're chanting the holy name. This is why he says it's the beginning of all auspiciousness. Kalyananam nidhanam. It's the reservoir of all auspiciousness. So, this is confirmed as well in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The holy name destroys all the holy name destroys all inauspiciousness, and it's necessarily independent of any other means of gaining auspiciousness. Necessarily, for this reason. It's the source of all auspiciousness. The commentary on this verse quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 23, Text 16. And in that verse, even the spiritual master of the demons, who is the spiritual master of the demons? He has to admit, mantratas tantratas chidram deshika alarthavastutaha sarvam koroti nishchidram anusankirtanam tava. That means, there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. This is spoken by Shukracharya. So, even he has to admit, this is the power of the holy name. So, commenting on these words, Sridhar Swami explains that flaws in mantra include faulty intonation or even faulty pronunciation. If you go to China and you hear the devotees chanting japa, anyone been to China? So you've heard how they chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Lama Lama, Hare Hare. But that's okay, because as the Chaitanya Bhagavat tells us, murkho vadati vishnaya, dhiro vadati vishnave, upayos tat samam punyam, bhava grahi janardhanaha. That means that a person who doesn't know, he says namaha vishnaya. If we say krishnaya namaha, why not vishnaya namaha? But a person who knows Sanskrit grammar knows that the proper declension of the word Vishnu is not Vishnaya, it's instead Vishnave, Om Namo Vishnave. But in either case, the person who is sincerely chanting the Lord's holy name out of love and devotion, that person gets the same benefit either way, whether he's chanting Hare Krishna or he's chanting Hare Krishna. He gets the same benefit. Why? Because bhava grahi janardana. Lord Janardana, he accepts the devotion with which the holy name is chanted. So Sridhar Swami continues to explain this Bhagavatam verse 8.23.16. There may be flaws in tantra. Those include deviation from ritually enjoined actions. For example, in the shastras, dharma shastras, we always hear that there are different kinds of actions that are enjoined upon a human being. In fact, to be qualified as a human being, you have to perform those actions. What are some of those actions? Huh? Yes, truthfulness is, this is called honesty and other virtues, this is called sadharana dharma, just ordinary dharma. And niyatam karma is another kind of karma that Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita. These are anushtanas, or activities that you have to perform every day. He mentioned to offer pinda to your ancestors when they're deceased, because that releases them from the threat of going to hell. Of course, that's a special consideration. But taking a bath in the morning, everybody has to take a bath in the morning. When do you have to take your bath in the morning, according to the Shastra? Huh? Before sunrise, that's right. Because even from a health perspective, all the amavisha within your body, it becomes recirculated within your body if you bathe after sunrise. If you rise after sunrise, and if you bathe after sunrise, then you even get sick. What to speak of the reaction of not doing your duty. So sometimes we find it hard to do this. When you're on an airplane, for example, traveling from San Francisco to New Delhi on your way to Vrindavan, you can't take your morning bath. except in the mind, which a determined person will do. And even when you're bathing in the water in California, where's that water coming from? Coming from recycled sewage water. People don't know this. Of course, they don't advertise it. But that's where it comes from. So you kind of have to take shelter in the mind of Yamuna Devi, and instead you can sing Srila Rupa Goswami's Yamunashtakam at the time of bathing, and you can remember the Yamuna River, and you can meditate at least on taking bath in the Yamuna, because apavitro pavitro va sarvavastham gatopi va yasmaret pundarikaksham sabahya bhyantara shuchihi. The person who may have passed through any condition and may be clean or unclean, that person who remembers the lotus-eyed Lord Pundarikaksha, that person is immediately cleaned. This is the essence. Because like the holy name itself, just even the thought of Krishna is also non-different from Krishna. And he will purify us in exactly the same way, because he's Kalyananam Nidhanam. We need to show the verse itself on the board only. So then the next thing he says, Kalimala Mathanam. Kalimala Mathanam. Mala, that's what circulates through your body if you don't take your bath before sunrise. Mala means toxins or contamination. So Kali Yuga is a toxic age. I was reading in Srila Prabhupada's Purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text Number 3. Who knows it? I'm sorry, not number 3, it's number 10.
Apanya samsritim ghoram yannamo bivashagrinam.
In that case, it must be verse number 11. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hupadrutaha. Srila Prabhupada writes there that we're so unfortunate in so many ways. We're always disturbed, we're unlucky, we're a little bit slow. My brother used to say, not the brightest bulb on the chandelier. So this is us in the Kali Yuga. Manda sumandamati. And manda bhagya, we're unlucky. We don't have really such great samskaras. We don't have such good karma. So this is our unfortunate position. But our fortunate position is that this is taken into consideration when the holy name is offered as the supreme remedy for all kinds of contaminations. Kali mala matanam. We are troubled by nishacharas. Anyone who has heard my lectures enough knows who the nishacharas are. What are nishacharas? What does nishachara literally mean? Night rovers. And we hear them going down the street, even if we live in the Bay Area. We hear them going down the street with their mega bass speakers. Even you're trying to get some sleep. But it has an impact. It's going into our ear means it's going into our mind, which means it's going into our heart. Therefore, intelligent devotees, they buy these little electric boxes that you get in Vrindavan, and you push the button, and you immediately get Srila Prabhupada chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then you hear that instead. Bhadram karnebhi shruniyama deva, ityadi, the Shruti Mantra tells us, you should think only auspicious things, you should see, hear, taste, touch, etc., only auspicious things. So this holy name, we've already decided, it's the most auspicious of auspicious things, therefore it naturally destroys the filth of the Kali Yuga. And then he says, the verbal root mat is used here in the sense of death because it is the destroyer of the filth of Kali Yuga. I mean to say, because it's used in that sense, the commentator tells us, therefore it actually destroys this filth. It doesn't just, matanam usually means to churn something, but in this case it means to actually wipe something out. That's the idea. So all the filth of the Kali Yuga can be destroyed by this holy name. And this is something we hear even in the Shruti, Shruti Mantra. Which Shruti Mantra tells us this? It's a famous verse. Iti Shodashakam Kali Kalamasha Nashanam. Same thing. Kali Kalamasha means the same thing as mala, sinful reactions. Okay, so Pavanam Pavananam. Therefore, it follows that this is the supreme purifier of all purifying things. Pavana means to purify something. So then he says, he gives us the sentence structure here. Immediately upon being uttered by someone who desires liberation, that holy name becomes the provision for attaining a transcendental position. Patheam. Just like when we go on an airplane, someone who is very kind will prepare some foodstuffs that are suitable for taking on an airplane, like parantas or whatever it is that you, and then you have your provisions for your flight. You don't need to worry about anything else. Oh, do I have to eat airplane food of all things? So that's called patheam, something for the path. Path means path. So patheyanyan mumukshoho, for those persons who are desiring liberation, this is considered to be all the provisions that you need. You don't need anything else other than this holy name if you're traversing this path of liberation. And it takes you further than that. We've often mentioned, and elsewhere in Padyavali it's mentioned, the holy name has two divisions. Taraka, which delivers you from the Kali Kalmasha, and Paraka, which takes you into the transcendental realm in a position of service. In our line we chant, Radhe Vrindavanadhishe Karanamrita Vahini Kripaya Nijapadabjam Dasyam Mahyam Pradyatam. My dear Srimati Radharani, O Supreme Queen of Vrindavan, who carries the nectar of Krishna's mercy to us, either directly or more likely through her representatives, please give me a position of servitude to your lotus feet. Dasyam mahyam pradiyatam. Please be kind enough to bestow upon me this position. So this is called paraka. It takes us into the transcendental realm, beyond liberation. So here the implication is that sapari means that you instantly get this benediction. And it's described here that even if somebody doesn't even want liberation, the desire to elevate oneself to that level of existence is created simply by chanting the holy name. Even if you don't want liberation to begin with, just like when we go on Harinama Sankirtana, last night we had ecstatic performance of Hari Sankirtana in public, and many people were feeling transcendental ecstasy, whether they knew it or not. And whether they know it or not, they now can develop a desire to elevate themselves out of this material world. Next time somebody comes by and offers them a book or gives them some prasadam or gives them the holy name again, they will respond much more positively than they would have responded before. And they may even think that, let me check this out, because I should do something auspicious with my life. Kalyananam nidhanam. Whether they know that this is the nature of the holy name or not, now they've been benedicted by the grace of all the Vaishnavas, and they can proceed on the path of liberation. But for those of us who are already on this path, we're more interested in the second aspect of the holy name's transcendental activity. We know that we will be pulled out of the material world as long as we just continue to chant sincerely and without offenses. But we're praying, therefore, to Srimati Radharani and her agents, her representatives, that we can have some transcendental position in the spiritual world. That is what is suggested here by the words. We need to see the words again. This is maybe the third, or is it the fourth time that I've said this? Leave the verse alone on the board and don't be restless. So, Patheyan yan mumukshoho sapadi para para prapti. Para para prapti. Para para means a transcendental position. Prapti means to get that thing. Prochyamanam, they declare it. They declare this very loudly. The commentator expresses this here. The idea is Vagvishayam, prakarshena. They very, very strongly they declare, indicating that one's provision for the path to attain a transcendental position of Goloka is guaranteed. Now, sapati, we've described this also before. What does sapati mean? In an instant. Just like that verse we mentioned already, apanna samsriti ghoram, what is it? Grahana.
Tata sadya vimuchyati yad bhiveti sayam bhayam.
Sadya, the word sadya means the same thing here as sapadi. It means right away. And we discussed this the other day. We don't necessarily feel the results right away, but the result is there. It's just a matter of coming to fruition. So this is the great fortune of chanting the holy name. Then he goes on in the next line, Vishramasthanam ekam. Kavivadavachasam. In the words of the greatest poets, this is the one resting place. Well, what does that mean? First of all, who are the greatest poets? Kavivada. And the commentator tells us, Vyasadeva, he wrote all the Vedas. Who could be more poetic than that? And what could be more poetic than Srimad Bhagavatam? Of all the Puranas, far and away, Srimad Bhagavatam is the most poetic. So, Vyasadeva is there. Who else wrote famous as Adi Kavi? I mentioned this the other day. Not Brahma. Valmiki. They say that Valmiki invented the shloka meter. And Ramayana also has very beautiful poetry in the Sanskrit if we read this. So, Shukdev Goswami, Valmiki, Muni, we can add to the list. Vyasadeva, these are the best poets. Now, Vishramasthanam, Vishram, just like in Mathura we have Vishram Ghat. Because who rested there? Huh? Why is it called Vishram Ghat? What happened there? Varahadev rested there. Famous pastime. Therefore, it's called Vishram Ghat, or Vishranti Ghat, means the same thing. Vishramasthanam, the resting place, Ekam. It's the only resting place. What does it mean? The only resting place of the greatest poet's words. It means that because the holy name is the source of all auspiciousness, whenever the name is remembered for the success of any action, then and there, without any other instruction necessary, and without glorifying anything else, only the greatness of the holy name is sufficient. All other words, in other words, cease to reach the zenith of vocal attainment. Only the holy name. And we find that just as in works like this Padyavali written by great liberated souls like Rupa Goswami, certainly he's within the same category of the greatest of the poets, we find there also that he's particularly fond of glorifying the holy name. In the first verse of Dikshikshastaka, we hear there are seven ways in which the Sankirtana process is glorified. In today's verse also we hear seven completely different ways in which the holy name is glorified. Not completely different, they're very closely related, but in a different, little bit different aspect, a little bit different angle we're looking at here. So this is Vishramasthanamekam Kavivadavachasam. We don't know who wrote this verse, but whoever wrote this verse was very Krishna conscious. And that's why Srila Rupa Goswami included it in his Padyavali. Okay. Then what comes next? Vishramasthanam ekam kavivadavachasam jivanam sadjananam. This is the sixth thing mentioned here. Jivanam sadjananam. What is a sadjana? Gentleman, we say, sadjana. Huh? Saintly person, sat means a sadhu, satsanga we say means sadhu sangha, you see. So this is the jivanam, this is the very life of the sadhus. That's a little bit harder for us to recognize in the beginning. Therefore, for the sadjanas or sadhus, Jivanam is the means to life, because resorting to the holy name is the only way that they can remain alive. Just think about the depth of that statement. It's a very simple statement, just one sentence, but how much meaning is there? Our whole practice of Krishna consciousness is to bring us to any inkling of what this means. And beyond that, if we continue with the process, then we will begin to experience that I cannot live without this holy name. This is called asakti. Asakti. We can even, it means asakti, you know, means attachment. Well, Srila Prabhupada often used to use the word addiction. I think one of the Beatles, maybe it was John Lennon, asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the sign of a bona fide guru? And Prabhupada answered, you find the person who is most addicted to Krishna. That person is bona fide guru. Prabhupada was very careful in his choice of words. At the time that they were speaking, John Lennon happened to be addicted to heroin. So asakti means, we can say, it's such a strong attachment, it's like an addiction. Not in a negative sense, because it cannot be negative. How can the source of all auspiciousness be negative? So we're attached to that supreme auspiciousness, whose name is Sri Krishna, and we cannot live without chanting his holy name. Everybody eats every day. Right, correct? Raise your hand if you don't eat or if you're no longer planning to eat. Okay? Right. So we all eat. Can you imagine? I mean, we go without eating, but generally we avoid it if we can. We would rather eat every day. So just imagine if you don't eat. How are you going to feel? Think about it. This is how the sadhu feels. Sadjana means the pure devotee. This is how the pure devotee feels if there's no Harinam. You see? It's like breathing. Jivana means life. Prana also means life. You see? If you don't breathe, you can't live. A year or two ago in Vrindavan, I had a problem in April. There's a combination of Vrindavan dhuli, dust, and Vrindavan pollution, and the stuff in the air that comes when they harvest the wheat. It creates a problem for people with upper respiratory problems that gives them asthma. I don't even get asthma, but I get asthma in April in Vrindavan. And one night around 10 o'clock, I just could not breathe. And at 10 o'clock at night, to get from MVT to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, it's a problem. There's no rickshaws. Who will take you there? Even though I couldn't breathe, I had to walk very slowly to this place just to get some emergency help. And by the time I got to the parking lot of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, I nearly passed out. It was very critical. When you can't breathe, you've only got a few seconds to solve that problem. You see? This is what killed Gopi Puranadana, actually. He was, anyway, maybe COPD or even emphysema, it seems he had, but asthma. So, prana ache, the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, to glorify Krishna chiefly by performing Harinama Sankirtana and glorifying his name and chanting his holy name, this is life. And without this life, nobody can remain. This is devotee. Okay, so that's Jivanam Sajjananam. And then finally he makes one final point. Bijam Dharma Dhrumasya. Bijam Dharma Dhrumasya. What does bijam means? Seed. Dharma Dhruma. What does a Dharma Dhruma? The tree of Dharma. Dharma is a hard word to translate. Srila Prabhupada, throughout his books, he's translated it as variously in different contexts. Religion, regulative principles, characteristic function, social codes, nature, eternal occupation, morality, devotional service, prescribed duties, etiquette, vows, customs, All these words I found throughout Srila Prabhupada's books for one word. These are all very, very different things. The problem is that the English language doesn't use this word because the English language doesn't have the concept that all these things can be subsumed into one category. This is the problem. So dharma is the first thing we have to understand. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, chapter 11, text number 6, Narad Muni calls the Supreme Lord Dharma Mula, the root of dharma. And that's very similar to calling him the Bijam Dharma Druma, the seed of the tree of dharma. So, back to the third verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataroho Galitam Phalam Shukamukara Marta Drava Sanyutam Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Muhuraho Bhuvikara. The Vedas compare compared to the desire tree, Nigama Kalpataru. This is the ultimate tree of dharma. Because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Are you getting a sense of why the word dharma has so many meanings? So, above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform that we discussed in the beginning is called mukti. And the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. And that is what we discussed already as para-para-prati, to get a position in that transcendental realm of spiritual duality. So Srila Prabhupada says, the Bhagavatam itself says, Savai Pum Sam Paro Dharmo Ityadi, the supreme dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. In Kali Yuga, the chief means of developing such love is chanting the holy name. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Aiva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. Which one of those three repetitions is not easy to understand? And the logic I've mentioned several times, positive and negative coverage, it's all the bases are covered. Once again, the Shastra does this. So this is the point. Therefore, under the guidance of a pure devotee, one should depend on Krishna, and one should sincerely chant the holy name in the authorized manner, because it immediately bestows upon us a position in the spiritual world. There's no greater subject to glorify than the holy name. It becomes the life. It becomes our life. It is already the life of the great souls. So I'm going to read the translation again. This is, May the holy name of Krishna, which is a repository of auspiciousness that destroys the filth of the Kali age and is the purifier of purifiers, which is for those seeking liberation declared as the provision for quickly attaining a transcendental position, and which is the life of the virtuous, the one repose in the words of the greatest poet, and the seed of the tree of dharma. May that holy name of Krishna grant you all good fortune. Now he asks, the commentator says, how is it that we're saying this is for you? It's for you if you are not yet desiring to elevate yourself to the spiritual platform, and it is for all of us if we are. So either way it works. This is a benediction. It's an instruction for those of us who are on the path of bhakti already, and it's a benediction for those who are not yet on the path of bhakti. That's what it means when he says, Prabhavatu bhavatam bhutaye Krishna Nama. Bhuti means opulence, for your welfare, for your good fortune. Prabhavatu, may it be Krishna Nama. Okay, so I'm going to stop here. Does anybody have any questions or any comments? Microphone.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for taking us deep into the holy names. And one particular word I like was Sajjana Nam Jivanam, that how is the holy name is the life of the saintly people. And I was remembering once His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu met one sadhu in Vrindavan, and he told him that how all the vitamins are there in holy name. So
all the what?
All the vitamins are there in holy name. All the vitamins.
Vitamins, we say in America, yeah. Okay. Very good. Yeah, this is the same thing. Everything, anything auspicious, it's there. It's coming from this holy name. So no need for anything else. But if the spiritual master tells you to do something else, then we have to do that. Because then it would become an offense to the holy name if we don't do that. So we follow all these things, but we don't depend on them. We depend only on the holy name, because it's the only thing you can depend on in Kali Yuga. We don't have adhikar for anything else. See? Okay, yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I like the point that you made about how Hare Krishna Mahamantra is all the provision that we need in our journey.
Not my point, this is Padyavali.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Yeah, it's the only thing we need, that's a fact. Because it's the only, each of these seven aspects that are glorified here logically leads to the next one, or logically proceeds from the last one, we can say. The reason it is Kalyananam Nitanam is because it destroys the filth of the Kali Yuga. And how does it do that? Because it's the most purifying of all purifying things. Therefore, for somebody who wants to be purified, it's everything that you need. It's the only thing that the Kavis glorify, because it's the life of the saintly people, and therefore it's the root of all things religious. This is the holy name. Let's get some other.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question regarding this. So in one of the Prabhupada's lectures, he is mentioning that Harinam is not sectarian. So if somebody is chanting the name of Allah or Jesus Christ, or you know, denoting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will give him some benefit. But it is, like, we know that the name of the Krishna, Rama, these are mentioned in Veda, Shruti Shastra. But those are like, you know, I don't know where from they actually evolved, but somehow they evolved. They are not from Shruti directly. So how will they get the same benefit as we do by chanting the name of Krishna and Ram?
They will not get the same benefit, but they will get benefit. Someone once asked Srila Prabhupada, what will happen, you know, what if somebody is a sincere Christian? Then, you know, what about him? And Prabhupada answered, if he's a sincere Christian, he will join this movement. So, bhavagrahi janardana, to answer your question more directly, means the Lord understands within the heart the sincerity with which we're calling to him, crying for him, begging from him. And he will reciprocate. Yayata mam prapadyante tansa teva bhajami. Or ananyashintayanto mam yejana paripasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshimam vahami. Or how many other references need I quote? This is the idea. The Lord will reciprocate. And that the person may very well come to Krishna bhakti if the Lord decides to send some devotee. He's within the heart. How do we all come to this path? You see? Sometimes it's just causeless mercy. Sometimes we're looking for something. Sometimes we're not looking for anything. That's why both classes are benedicted. The people who are looking, they get immediately a spiritual position. People who are not yet looking, they develop the desire to look. This is how it works. Is that okay? All right, somebody else. Vaisheshika Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Mukunda Dada Prabhu, thank you very much for decorating our ears with this beautiful katha, and for being here in the ISV so that we can just sit and listen to you. You mentioned about last night, you came into the Harinam, sat down, and you were saying how the people who were there hearing the holy name and they were becoming imperceptibly liberated. And I was wondering if you could just comment about that. It's an interesting realm of conversation, and devotees talk about, you know, the relative benefits of Agyata Sukriti and, you know, how people progress after that and so forth. Just any thoughts you have in that realm, what you were thinking when you mentioned how they're imperceptibly liberated, would be helpful.
Well, you know, we like to state things in terms of what the Shastra says very strictly. We should at least follow that principle, Guru Sadhu Shastra. And part of doing that is that the thing has to be logically clear. Otherwise, how can we understand it? Our statements and our ideas about spiritual life must logically inhere in what the Guru tells us, what the Sadhu Parampara has taught, what the Shastras say. Now, having said that, sometimes the way that mercy works is unfettered, even by formulas that you know, scientific sorts of formulas, and mechanical, I mean, formulas is maybe the better word for it. So we can't really tell so many things, I think, about what kind of mercy Krishna bestows and in what degree. These things are very hard for us to understand because it's between the Lord and each and every living entity with whom he reciprocates. So we find in the Shastras, for example, there are stories of persons who are not the least bit interested in spiritual life, but they become highly benedicted. Great demons who come to kill Krishna even, and he sends them back to Godhead, back to Goloka. On the other hand, we find, Rupa Goswami says, there are devotees who are sincere and they're very ardently praying to Krishna to fulfill their desire, and he doesn't seem to reciprocate. So it's not something that we can understand very easily. Exactly who gets liberated, how, and how soon, and when, and in what fashion, it's a mystical thing. That's as much as I've realized. It's not something that I can really wax greatly about because it's a mystical thing beyond my comprehension. Amazing grace, as the Christians say. Is that helpful? Yes. Prabhuji, Radha Kripa.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is specific to chanting the holy name. Holy name in many other sampradayas or other beliefs could be Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya or
Narayana, 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 Narayana.
Or some people chant Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya, or Om only it itself. Is there any gradation, or it's the same thing? If you could.
No, there is a gradation, actually. That's why same thing I said with regard to his question about people who are chanting the names of Allah or Yahweh or whatever. Krishna has his direct names and he has his indirect names. His direct names will be in relation to his associates and pastimes, especially those in Vrindavan. And then the next step outside of Vrindavan is Mathura Vasudev and his expansions, Dwarkadhish and his expansions and Leelas, etc. And then we have the other avatars of the Lord. And then we have the general forms of impersonal forms of the Lord, and that's where his attributes become more prominent than the names that are describing his personality and his activities and his relations with his associates. So, for example, Srila Prabhupada writes in the, well, we've heard so many words like Ishwara and Bhagavan, and you know, Narayan is pretty generic, although that has multiple meanings. Can be either Bhagavan himself or it can be a descriptive epithet. It depends. The level to which that holy name will take us closer to Brajabhakti, it depends on the understanding with which we are chanting. That's called Sambandhagyan. And unless we have Sambandhagyan, it's likely even that we will commit some degree of offense. So it's actually better to chant directly the names of the Lord than these indirect attributes. And I'm going to tack on to the indirect group of the holy names these, you know, non-Vedic names that people have for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we said with regard to Vaisheshika Prabhu's question, none of us can say how the Lord is going to benedict someone when and how, and depending on what, it's causeless. So that's not easy to understand. But the names of the Lord as they're taught in our line, we have these two general divisions, and we can understand from that that it's better to chant those names that are directly related to the Lord, and particularly the Lord in his personal leelas as Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, especially in Vrindavan. Now, having said that, we can chant so many names of Krishna also. But Srila Prabhupada emphasized, because Lord Chaitanya also emphasized, our line in general emphasizes the chanting of this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And our acharyas have even given commentaries on this Maha Mantra to look at these names in different ways. But these are directly the names of Krishna, and they're the most potent names of Krishna that are recommended in the Shruti. So that's our mood. Is that okay? Yes, Malini. Unless there's someone else who hasn't yet asked a question. Okay.
Prabhu, have a question. So when we go and teach Maha Mantra on the book table for newcomers, they often ask the question, what does it mean? So people are coming from different backgrounds, different religious sects, so what would we tell them, what does that mean?
In Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 32, Krishna tells Arjuna that the best yogi is the person who can empathize. I had a long history with this principle in my personal spiritual life. I can't get into that today, but it's a very important verse because we have to empathize. We have to understand where a person is coming from, what a person's doubts are, what a person's desires, attachments, and aspirations are. This is what it means to be able to empathize. And when we are preaching, we have to do that. We have to get a sense of where someone is coming from, and we have to tailor our presentation according to what the person is most likely to respond to. Now, sometimes we get bewildered. Not sometimes. Quite often we get bewildered. But one way in which we get bewildered is that somebody will appear to be completely uninterested even, or unqualified, and then that person becomes a great bhakta. So how it works, it is mystical, as I said. But we have to explain a little bit carefully. For example, last night we had a program in Stanford. So someone asked this very question then. What is the meaning of these three words, Hare Krishna Rama? So, you know, it was a very new crowd, and mainly Western people also. Several new people, brand new, first timers. So, you know, I was very cautious. I didn't tell them anything about the esoteric explanations of the Maha Mantra with regard to Vrindavan Leela. But, you know, we say that Hare means the person who removes all of our miseries. That's one of Krishna's names. Or it means Hara, the internal potency of the Supreme Lord who brings us closer to him. Krishna means the all-attractive. Rama means the reservoir of all pleasure. We're approaching, I said, the absolute truth in these, you know, ways. So you have to be a little bit... It's a gingerly endeavor to deal with this, how you can bring someone a little bit closer. It's going to differ from time, place, and circumstance. Is that okay? Yes.
Prabhu, when you explain the like how the Krishna's mercy works is causeless, you know, like it's inconceivable most of the time. In that name, like. Most of the people, or you know, some people, they try to not even understand Krishna's or read the Krishna's Leela, like Srimad Bhagavatam, say that it's causeless, we can't understand. Or Bhagavad Gita, even don't open it. They worship it, but don't open it.
So Bhagavad Gita as it is, shrink wrapped on the shelf, just leave it as it is.
So what's your, you know, like thoughts and suggestions on that?
Well, we're instructed by the spiritual master, And we have to follow those, all of those instructions, all, even the little ones, Prabhupada said. We have to follow. So he's told us that we read Bhagavad Gita systematically in order, krama se, we say. And we have to then read Srimad Bhagavatam, proceeding from the first canto all the way up until the tenth canto and beyond. Like this, we have to read all these things.
But the person who are not even ready to take instructions, mm-hmm. like the new people you distribute, you know, Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, how we encourage them, like, you know, this is...
As we said, with regards to the explaining the holy name, a little bit carefully and in a way that they can adapt. And generally the introductory text will be, you know, matchless gifts, perfection of yoga, you know, beyond birth and death. These are very good, very helpful for ordinary people. They kind of like introduce one to the Bhagavad Gita, and then somebody who's a little bit interested can read Bhagavad Gita, and then after that Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we have the other books. Is that okay? All right. So I think we have to... Okay, one last question, then we have to stop because I'm over time.
Thank you, Guruji, for the comment that you given about the last night Harinam. And I was remembering a verse from Namashtakam where Sri Rupa Goswami says, Yad abhyaso api udayan kavilita bhavadvanta vibho disan tattva dhanam disati api bhakti praneni. So can you please explain more about this verse or in Namashtakam in general, because in which we see also eight and he's glorifying the holy names. Is there some relation and... some more lights on
that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the whole everything you
said. Some more lights on Namashtakam and Rupa Goswami and some history or some more, we can get some inspiration from Namashtakam.
Well, that's another class altogether, isn't it? I mean, I think it's time to let Vaisheshika Prabhu say something, because I'm sure he will drown us in the Ananda Kunda of the holy name. Okay? Jai. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
In the Shastra it is mentioned that the perfection of the eyes is to see a Vaishnava. Perfection of the body is to touch a Vaishnava. Perfection of the ears to hear from the Vaishnava. So Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu, Sri Murti have come here, and it's been a veritable feast. I know for the devotees to be able to see them and to hear from them over the last week. And this is the very purpose of not just ISKCON of Silicon Valley, but ISKCON in general. And that is to have an association of advanced devotees. So to both of you, Mukunda Datta Prabhu, Sri Murti, Mataji, we are deeply grateful for you giving such a large portion of your valuable lives to come here and show by example how one can be engaged in pure devotional service. And please, let's thank them again for coming here. And in your applause is also a request for them to come back as soon as possible and stay as long as possible. In short, thank you for walking the earth. What a great occasion to come and renew our enthusiasm for chanting Hare Krishna. And after Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu's presentation, we hear the many reasons. What's in it for us? This is in simple marketing terms what people want to know. So what's in it for me? And this is some of the essence of Sambandha Gyan and the knowledge that we've gotten today. What is our relationship with Krishna? And how is it most easily accessed? Especially through the chanting of the holy names. I was particularly inspired to hear those various points. It's a point of marketing that people have noticed before. That's why they started 7-Elevens. They did research. They went to these big supermarkets and they found out from people coming through the parking lot, interviewing them, oh, what are you actually buying here? What do you actually need? Milk, bread, Coca-Cola, and cigarettes. So then, let's start a store that just sells those things. And there's kind of a human instinct to try to find out like what's the easiest, the most direct process. And all of these verses give us that some satisfaction to the mind that you don't have to go all over the universe. You can stay in one place and actually find everything. This is an inspiring concept. One that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Nam bina kichu nahi ko ora chota bhuvanamaje." This idea that there's nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds except the holy name. And if one could feel that kind of satisfaction that I found that thing, I found the essence of everything, and just let me be there with that, fully conscious, fully aware, at least for some time before the onslaught of the ideas in my minds, the various desires, my obligations come rushing into my life. This period we know as our japa time that we carve out each day to be there exclusively for the holy name. And the more we experience it for ourselves and have true realization, the more we can aspire to and actually attain this position that Prabhu was just talking about, asakti, in which one feels addicted. This is really the sign that one's coming to spiritual health, that I'm vitally interested and then I'm actually attached and then I'm addicted to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this requires practice, and therefore in the beginning we have the idea of vidhi bhakti, that we're following, we have faith in the Shastra, we have faith in the doctor, in the spiritual master and the prescriptions that he's giving from the various scriptures. And even though I may not be experiencing the effect of the medicine immediately, although he mentioned in the verse too that it's, and quoted sadhya, it's sadhyo, it comes very quickly, and people do get an inkling that, yes, there's something in this. But then perhaps the onslaught, as I mentioned, comes, and I may forget again, so I have to keep coming back in again and again to the ideas and the sambandhagyan, reminded of what my real relationship is, that I don't have a relationship with the material world. I've got nothing to do. There's nothing to see here in those places where they cordon off the area with the yellow tape, police line. People try to stare and they go, keep moving. There's nothing to see here. This is the material world for the soul. There's nothing really to see here, some ghastly scene. It's a compulsion to turn one's head and kind of look in and say, what is it? But actually, our real interest is somewhere else. And if we keep hearing about that and understand the means to attain it, and to understand that the means and the attainment are the same thing, then we have everything. So, greatly edifying hearing that verse today from the Padyavali. Some practical thoughts. And I wrote down some ideas. One was about purposeful japa. There's a difference when we do things purposefully, and especially japa. So to do it on purpose, to do it deliberately, this will require some arrangement in our life. The verse in which Rupa Goswami says, "Tanama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramneena rasanamanasi niyoja." Tishtan Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayad Akilamitupidesha Saram. That you should organize your life in such a way that you can nicely hear and chant. And by that, step by step, you'll come to the highest position in life. That's another a very important thing to remember. Krame krame, step by step. If you sincerely chant Hare Krishna, that's all you need. And you will come to the perfectional stage of the process of devotional service. So, purposeful japa. So, one thing, while chanting the japa of the Maha Mantra, here are a couple of questions to ask oneself. This is on the practical side. You can ask yourself, as you're chanting, am I aware that I am chanting? Because as we've discussed numerous times, and probably will go on discussing, it is altogether possible to chant the holy names and not even be aware that one's chanting. What else might one be aware of? While chanting this name, which is the pinnacle of all attainments, what else might you be thinking of? Breakfast. And what else?
Job situations.
Job situation is a likely candidate. Anything? Use the microphones. And the reason I say use the microphones is everywhere I go in the world, in fact, I was just recently visiting several places, and people come up and they say, I really like ISV because you can hear what the audience has to say. And even if it's a fragment, it helps to involve them. And we're really catering to all of you online. This is a live studio audience, but we're here for you. Hare Krishna.
Mostly planning about our material desires or accomplishments that we want to do, either material or spiritual.
Yes, material or spiritual desires, accomplishments. Dainiti, Prabhu.
Thinking that because I have no sincerity and because I'm chanting offensively, not even in Nam Aparad, that this chanting is useless. So why keep chanting?
Yeah. So that thought can come, and thoughts about doing other things can come, and it can be quite overwhelming. And this has been documented, millions of cases. In fact, it's a frequently asked question, how do you chant japa? How can you actually do this? Because it seems so difficult. And as I mentioned in the earlier session, this morning we sat together in a circle and we chanted for some time, which was really nice. That people ask all the time, how do I do this? The mind seems so hard to control and so forth. And Krishna answers in the Bhagavad Gita that you have to practice. And it means you keep bringing your mind back. So be aware. Be aware that you're chanting. And this is a simple way, because if one gets too complicated of an instruction about how to control the mind and, do it like this, do it like that, that also may become an impediment. It's like, oh, that's too complicated also. I can't do that. But I really like this proposition that Satyadeva Prabhu gave us some time ago, which is that be aware that you're chanting. And I've noticed it in my own practice. If I continually bring my awareness back and say, oh yeah, I'm chanting now. Yes, right now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Right now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Now I'm still chanting Hare Krishna. And this is the same as fixing one's mind on the name, being aware. So that's one question. First question is, am I aware that I'm chanting? Ask yourself that. What is the question? Yes. And the second question is, and I took this from Mahatma Prabhu, who gives frequent seminars. That's him calling now. I timed it. Yes, Mahatma? Yeah, thank you. Very good timing. Okay, I will tell them that. Yes, definitely. Thank you very much. So... He said, another question you can ask yourself, for this is a quality control. On a scale of 1 to 10, how focused and prayerful is my chanting right now? Because am I aware that I'm chanting? That's one level. But then give it some quantitative consideration. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how focused and prayerful is my chanting right now? So this may seem mechanical, but there are ways in which the Krishna recommends this, that it's in the beginning, mechanically bring your mind back until there's a sense of love and actual attachment to the holy name, which will awaken through this full concentration and practice. One may adopt these means in order to bring the mind back. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions it. Try chanting with sadhus. Try chanting with a chatter over your head. Try going in a closet and close the door. Be inventive. Try whatever you have to do. I mean, after all, the mind is inventive. It comes up with all kinds of crazy stuff. So you might as well be too in your attempt to chant with full awareness. So this is the question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how focused and prayerful is my chanting right now? So before I move on to the next set of practical steps, I'll just take some reflections about these particular questions. Yes, Prabhu. Here come the mics. There's a bushel basket of them out there.
Hari Bol, I actually had a question on the second one.
Sure.
When we talk about being creative, I have seen there are both the natural and technological ways to help with the focus. So doing yoga or pranayama before doing chanting helps start with more focused chanting. Alternatively, there are lots of technologies that listen to brainwaves, that enhance brainwaves, that again facilitate focus on chanting. Is there any guidance towards using these mechanisms?
Well, one thing we've talked about in previous seminars is setting a sankalpa before chanting, and that is before you just jump in and start chanting, which is okay also, never stop and start whenever you can. If you purposefully think about why am I doing this and set your purpose. We mentioned earlier that one might make a prayer that as I'm chanting, please let me be prayerful. Please let me find my sincerity. As far as technology goes, these things can be used inventively also. For instance, I've found that recording myself chanting is very helpful. For instance, you might go into see your physician on a regular basis, once a year, every 2 years, depends how old you are. And because you go in, they take a look at you and you say, oh, okay, you're falling apart. You got to do this, this, and that. And one can take for granted that everything's okay, and over time, things tend to drift. And in chanting also, it's good to recheck in. For instance, if you record yourself chanting and listen to it, first of all, you'll be aware that you're the one chanting. And second of all, you might notice that you're not enunciating. You're not pronouncing the syllables altogether. And that brings a kind of awareness also, painful awareness. I'm mindlessly doing this. So that can be helpful. Also, I notice sometimes devotees time themselves. And they keep aware of how long they're taking to chant a round of japa. 20 minutes may be too long, and 2 minutes might be too short. But that's altogether possible for the fingers as one's thinking about the job and all kinds of other things, and the fingers are just going through, and it's like, wow, that round went quickly. So monitoring yourself through various means can be helpful. And in the beginning, I mean, this example is given by Rupa Goswami about just about mechanical means like cultivating knowledge, like starting something in the beginning may take a little bit of a push. A modern example, or not so modern, a little bit older, cars used to have carburetors, and if they'd stall, you could push them and then pop the clutch out, and then it would start again. So we may need a little push on different things like that. But be inventive. Use what you can. The main purpose is to keep chanting and be aware that you're chanting. Yes?
Maharaj, in the morning you are mentioning that how whenever you travel all over the world, people ask this question, like chanting time, mind goes. So you told mention that they did not understood that is the function of mind to go, but we have to bring it back again and again.
Yeah, that's what the mind is. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. The mind just, mind goes. That's what it does, runs away. So the game is to keep practicing bringing it back to the mantra. And if you do that, you can train it. Mind can be the best friend, the worst enemy. And Krishna uses the metaphor in the Gita about unbridled mind. Bridle is something you put on a horse to help control it. And if the mind is unbridled, it just runs free. So you have to tame it and bridle it, and then you can ride it around. It'll help you out. You only get one mind, and it's the same one that you take with you everywhere. The old Buddhist saying, wherever you go, there you are. So take some time for maintenance of the mind, especially through concentration on the holy names. Yes, Vishakha Lila.
Prabhu, you often say that anything that gets measured, anything that is measured gets improved. So off late, I'm trying to do some introspective japa, meaning that I chant my rounds and then I take some time to reflect on how my chanting went, like too fast, not good pronunciation, mind wandering everywhere, and then I note it down, and then I see that there are so many negatives in my chanting, and then I try to pick one that I could improve for the next few days, and then that helps to keep me humble, because I know that I have, I'm so far away from even like chanting like with proper pronunciation, leave alone the devotional part, just doing the activity of japa properly, and then that also helps me to become more prayerful, because I know I want to pray to Krishna to help me to chant. So this kind of introspective japa really helps, and I think that's what you were also mentioning, like being aware of chanting and asking ourselves and doing a quality control of our chanting.
So. Yes, an excellent idea and a good practice. A last one from Sukeshri in the back.
Prabhu, I have a question. I was thinking that when we are always chanting, we think that we want to control the mind. So what is the part of the intelligence there? Because I'm just reading the Puranjana story where the woman is concerned. I mean, in the story, the lady is connected as intelligence. So they're saying that intelligence is like distracting and trying to take the living entity away from the real understanding. So I'm a little confused about when we are chanting, I know that it's mantra, we're trying to control our mind. So what part does the intelligence come when we are actually chanting? Thank you, Prabhu.
Evam buddhi param buddhva samstabhyatmanamatmanaha jahi shatram mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Krishna recommends at the end of the third chapter that, first of all, he describes a hierarchy coming up from the senses to the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, above that is the soul. And the intelligence, when it's purified of lust, can become becomes the guardian of the becomes the guardian of the soul, of the mind, and oversees it. I think that Chaitanya Charanprabhu gave an example that you go to the doctor, doctor gives you some medicine, and then if it's a child that it's being prescribed to, the mind, he compared to being like a child, and gets the prescription, and then the intelligence is the adult who has to oversee it and make sure that you take your medicine on time and things like that. And so the intelligence, when it's working properly, is actually a representative of Krishna. This is mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the intelligence can become one Shiksha Guru if it's properly tuned and purified. And this can be done by reading Bhagavad Gita every day, because the reservoir of all good ideas are there, and Krishna says in the Gita that when you study this dialogue, that you worship Him by your intelligence. And as you do that, the intelligence becomes highly tuned to Krishna's instructions, and then it becomes the Shiksha Guru, and it helps to oversee and monitor the childlike mind that wants to do whatever it wants to do. But no, no, now you take your medicine. Now you chant. Schnicky. Okay, so the next one is, so the first one was to ask. Two questions to ask yourself. And if you ask these questions and then you answer them mentally, it'll help keep you on track. And the next one is several things to remember while or before you're chanting. One is, by chanting the Maha Mantra, one is directly in touch with Krishna. Prabhupada mentions that as Lord Nrisimhadev placed his lotus hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, in a similar way, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're directly in touch with Krishna.
Oh my goodness.
I'm afraid I may not have covered all his points. When you're chanting, be aware that this is Krishna directly, and this came up in Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu's presentation, Apanasam Sritin Gauranyanama Vivasho Grinan Tatasadya Vimucheta Yabhibheti Swayambayam. That the Bhagavatam comes right out and says in the first chapter that there's no difference between Krishna and his name. And this is continued throughout all the scriptures. So remember that when you're chanting, Krishna's right there with you. A devotee that I know has mentioned how he monitors his life by considering wherever he goes, whenever he's performing service, that his spiritual master is sitting right there next to him. And how will I conduct myself now? Will I still do what I was about to do? Or was it, if he's sitting right there, how will I respond? So remember, when you're chanting, Krishna is directly there. The second thing to remember, just by chanting the Maha Mantra without offense, one can attain Krishna Prema. This is the only process necessary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, oftentimes there are questions about adjusting one's life this way and that in order to move from, for instance, Vidhi Bhakti into Raga Anuga Bhakti. What do I have to do now? Do I have to change my style or my clothes? Or what do I do? Really, the emphasis from the Bhagavatam and all of our Vaishnava Acharyas is the main adjustment that you have to make is to chant Hare Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada, oftentimes when he answers questions, he'll in one I've mentioned before, a letter to Jayananda, he said, it's the same old answer, chant Hare Krishna. Nothing new. And if one keeps in mind that this is the main process to come to the perfectional stage, we have evidence of this. If one keeps this in mind, then one can remain focused. That's the end of the thought I was saying. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes at the end of his Sharanagati that by chanting, he comes to the stage of experiencing all these changes in his body, ecstatic symptoms, which he writes about in the song Radha Krishna Bol, in which Krishna Bolbe Jabe Pulaka Habe Jorbi Anki Bolita. You say it now. Yeah, go ahead.
Krishna bolbe jabe pulaka habe jorbe akhi bole tai.
And now Mataji, you do it. Just say it.
Krishna bolbe jabe pulak habe jorbe akhi boli tai.
Correct. So he assures us that by this chanting, the symptoms, all the symptoms of love for God will become manifest in your body. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes on to say that the holy name comes and takes him by the hand and leads him back to Goloka and introduces him to his relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. This is strong evidence for the full focus on this sadhana of chanting Hare Krishna as being the be-all and end-all of the Krishna conscious practice, because Krishna is Nam Prabhu. He's, and not only that, speaking about the Namashtakam, Vacham Vachakam Ityudeti Bhavato Dvanta Vibhavo,
Rupa Goswami says the name and Krishna are non-different, but there is a difference. Nam Prabhu is more merciful than Krishna himself. He'll come get you. He's come for you. He's come for the people of Palo Alto and everyone in Santa Clara County and everyone else around the world. He's descended in that way. And what to speak of if we reach out to him? He's reaching out to us. What to speak of those who have the wherewithal because of good association to then say, well, I'm going to try as hard as I can to reach out to Krishna. If he's already reaching out to us, what would be the effect of that? So remember that this sadhana is primary. And the third thing to remember is that I'm helpless and need Krishna's protection. One who chants with a feeling of helplessness, Queen Kunti says, will find that their chanting becomes immediately effective. We may have noticed this. I have a new saying. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Well, it's partly an old saying and with a new saying tacked onto it. Have you ever heard there's no atheists in foxholes?
Yes.
You've heard that many times, right?
Yeah.
Here's a new one. There's no atheists in foxholes or in Mexico. I just came back from Mexico. Everybody there believes in God. I know, I asked them all. That wasn't exactly pertinent to what I'm about to say, but the first part is there's no atheists in foxholes, and that is that there is, when one is by force of circumstance helpless, realize that I'm always helpless, but when I realize my helplessness suddenly, that the first instinct of the soul is to reach for a higher power. Even Gajendra didn't know that he was praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he first uttered his prayers. He just knew he was helpless, and by divine arrangement, because of his practice in his previous life, his instinct was to call out using these prayers to the Supreme. And everything then became focused, and Krishna appeared, and he realized his relationship with Krishna. Krishna revealed it to him. So feeling helpless is a matter of understanding reality, actually looking at one's real situation. It's not something you have to conjure. It's something that you have to, a way in which one looks at one's life realistically and thinks. Mukunda Datta Prabhu talked about losing one's breath. Death can come at any moment. Our acharyas, jivana talamala, jivana kalamala, Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. There's a way in which we're hanging in the balance. People, I once asked, I just landed in Los Angeles, got out of the car. I think we drove down there one year. Savas is there. Savas, how's it going? He said, hanging in by a thread. That was his answer, I thought. Great answer. Hanging by a thread. You know, my life, my life, community, everything is hanging by a thread. Materialist, how you doing? Great, I'm fine. You know, so you're really not. If you just realize that you're not fine, I'm not fine in any sense of the term. That the only thing I'm fine about is that I've found a way in which to take shelter. This is my only real asset. I know where to take shelter, even though I'm not fine in anywhere, in any way, shape, or form. And so, taking a second before chanting japa to refocus one's attention on the fact that I'm really helpless and there's nothing I can do about it except to surrender to Krishna and reach out. And use this as an opportunity to really reach out to Krishna and say, I'm helpless. I mean, it's not that hard to be helpless because I already am, and it actually feels good to admit it because much of my life is acting in a way that, oh, that didn't hurt. You're like, slam. You're like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Ah! The false ego is such that, you know, one gets one's finger chopped off and is like, I'm okay. You know, try to be stoic. Don't be stoic. Let yourself go. And especially when you chant japa, and just admit, I'm really not okay. I'm really helpless, and I really need help. This is Madhukanta Prabhu, our saintly pujari, who went to see his mother and then never came back because he couldn't get back because of visa problems, another symptom of the material world. It's a hard place to move around in. But one day when we were in Santa Cruz and we were distributing books together, and he had sold a book to this young Mexican mother with two daughters, and then they were so sincere and nice, like all Mexicans. And then he was teaching the Maha Mantra. He said, "I'll teach you this prayer." And they chanted the Maha Mantra, and with wide eyes they said, "What does it mean?" And I listened in carefully because I want to know what it means too. And so Madhukanta said, "It means I need help." And the next day when I was chanting, I was thinking, "I need help, I need help, I need help." And it was a great boon to have that understanding of the Maha Mantra coming from a pure devotee, Madhukanta Prabhu. So these are three things to remember. By chanting the Maha Mantra, one is in direct touch with Krishna. Number two, just by chanting the Maha Mantra without offense, one can attain Krishna Prema. And three, remember, I am helpless. I need Krishna's protection. Now we'll take a couple of reflections about these three remembrances. Yes.
Just a reflection, and just kind of a quick question. You just said that I need help. That's a very nice point, but sometimes our mind, and if we don't read properly or something, what do I need help for? Because the false ego and ignorance is so much thick. That, can you elaborate on why should I say that I need help?
Maybe you should become a temple president for a while. Be a temple president for a day and find out. My business is to all the temple presidents in the world.
So I was just thinking that sometimes because because our focus is not on the right thing, we have wrong desires, and we say I need help, and then Krishna as a well-wisher, he doesn't do that, and then we come to the thing, what do I actually need help for? Mm. So how do I understand that as a soul, what help, what real help should I ask for?
Take it back a step. I need help in understanding what I need help for. I'm so helpless that I don't even know what I need help for. I'm so confused that I have all these conflicting desires that aren't even in my own interest. You know, just utter helplessness means to just admit I don't know what to do or how to do it. All I know is that I've been given this medicine, and that if I chant this, then you'll direct me properly. King Prithu prays, "My Lord, I really don't know what to pray because I'm ignorant. And therefore, I leave it up to you. I'm praying that you do whatever is necessary." That kind of helplessness. So leave it in Krishna's hands. Even if for a moment, even if you can chant one mantra in that mood, that's more valuable than all the wealth one could attain by working hard in the material world for lifetimes. That one mantra, that one intention. Yes. Here comes the mic, straight back. To the side.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, if somebody asked me in the parking lot today that what did you get it from that class, I'll be like, how is my japa going to be purposeful, prayerful, and in the mood of helplessness? And as I was especially hearing you elaborate on helplessness or praying or doing japa in the mood of helplessness, I was thinking of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's writing on eternal beggar. Somehow that concept got stuck with me and has always helped me to stay humble, especially in my japa. And I always see that, yeah, I am actually a good beggar. I have always been begging since I knew how to pray. I beg for, when I was a student, I would beg for better grades, to get intelligence, when I got married, like for a peaceful situation. So I have always begged. I am a master's degree in begging. That's what I do the best.
That's a good one.
So that's always kept me very humble. And whenever I start my japa, I usually say, I can only beg Krishna, and it's up to you. You see my begging or not. So that's the point I have. Thank you, Maharaj.
That's a new, lends new meaning to the MBA, right? I got an MBA. What's it in? Begging. Yes, 1-2.
Prabhu, I was thinking that wherever we go, the material world, or the people in the material world,
kind of say that being vulnerable is not okay, it's a very negative thing, but I was thinking, you were talking about how being helpless, in fact, during japa, we have to be you have to feel completely vulnerable, so then you can feel helpless, and then you know, Krishna, I need help, and I realize that the only time I can be completely honest about, you know, who I am is during japa, because I mean, Krishna is hearing, Krishna knows me already, but when I bring out my vulnerability and express it to Krishna, Krishna, I need help because I have all these faults, then, you know, it kind of soothes me down, and then I feel like, okay, I can go on.
Thank you. And you can pass it back. And rule of thumb, what people in the material world say and think, just do the opposite. So if they say, don't be vulnerable, you can feel free to be vulnerable. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for so many wonderful points. I like this, especially the one, be aware. I think that's really helping, you know, since I've heard from you trying to do that, it's really helping. I also had one question, Prabhu. How do you balance the focus and prayerful mood? Because it seems like focus, when you try to hear the Maha Mantra, and if you try to get into the prayerful mood, you'd lose hearing the Maha Mantra sometimes. So, is that something you're
doing? The way I would put it is that, again, starting pushing the car. Unless there's a natural, spontaneous feeling of humility or helplessness where you're calling out for the name, then you have to rely on whatever you can do. Bite, scratch, kick, anything you can to stay in there. It's a fight. And to keep chanting. So that might require trying to focus in various ways that seem mechanical. Until you can, as they used to say in track and field, catch a flyer. In other words, you know, you do what you can, and then you're trying to set yourself up to accept descending grace. Think of it as seva. Even though I may not have a taste, I understand, my intelligence, my guardian understands, this is service. It's high service to chant. And therefore, I go on chanting. Atashi Krishna Nama Arina Bhaved Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukihi Jivhado Swayameva Spuratyadaha. That I'm doing what the Shastra says. I'm serving with my tongue. And if I have to do it mechanically for some time until my mind cooperates, until I can chant from the heart and really feel it. There is really no conflict in chanting from the heart and being focused. It happens automatically. There's a sense in when one's actually helpless and begging and calling out, that's a more intense kind of focus on chanting the holy name of the Lord. But in the beginning, one may have to then focus oneself, even cleaning a room, taking a bath, sitting down and saying, now I'm going to chant. This is a kind of focus. But you have to do that to set the stage so that you can then spontaneously chant. Otherwise, if you say, I'm just spontaneous, I always chant all the time in my mind, then why not chant a few times, you know, verbally as well? This is the prescription. Take it, and you'll feel the effect of the medicine. And now, the last thing I said, ask, remember, and the third thing is pray. So ask, remember, and pray. So before chanting, pray to please Krishna by your chanting. If I can please you, Krishna, by this chanting, then I will feel satisfied. And make your chanting a prayer to take complete shelter of Krishna. Jiva Goswami mentions in one of his Bhagavatam commentaries that the devotees again and again remember and take complete shelter of Krishna's verse in Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tang sarva papibhyo mukshayishami masuja. Again and again they take shelter of Krishna's words that if you just surrender me, I'll protect you. And here's another verse to remember when you're chanting your japa. This is spoken by Sri Ramachandra. Sakradeva prapannoyas tavasmiti chayachite abhayam sravadatasmai dadam yetat vratam mama.
It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. Please repeat. It is my vow, that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, it is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. This is this and Sarvadharman Parityaja are very helpful verses to remember before and while one's chanting japa and all other times throughout one's day. Take advantage of this, that Krishna is offering a full protection. And just abandon everything else, as Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita. Abandon all other concoctions about how to protect oneself, how to maintain oneself. And just for a while, at least for a while, take time to fully embrace these verses and say, Krishna, I just surrender to you. And if you chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, really meditating on this offer that Krishna has given, that I've come to save you, just surrender to me. And just use your chanting of the Maha Mantra to pray for that, to invest your heart wholly in that and say, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. Then your chanting will be very quickly effective. So we've discussed purposeful japa, and that before and while chanting your japa and at all other times, one may ask, am I aware that I am chanting? Also, on a scale of 1 to 10, how focused and prayerful is my chanting right now? One may remember, by chanting the Maha Mantra, one is directly in touch with Krishna. Just by chanting the Maha Mantra without offense, one can attain Krishna Prema. And one may also remember that I am helpless and need Krishna's protection. Then I just mentioned that Krishna is fully available for all of us, and really our only duty in life, our only obligation, is to surrender. And we call it sweet surrender, and those who can taste it, especially while they're chanting japa and calling out to the Maha Mantra, to the holy names, that I'll take advantage of it now. I think I'll take you up on the offer, Krishna. I'll take this position of full surrender. If you do that, then very quickly you'll be able to taste the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and will attain the results of that. Much damage is done when you just chant one mantra. Even somebody who accidentally says Hare Krishna. This is mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna says, even if someone inadvertently says the holy name, then major damage is done to that person's material life. Irreparable damage is done. So lean into your japa and see how much damage you can do to the whole absurd concept that there's something for me here in the material world. Just try to lean in and break stuff as hard as you can by chanting. Extend your hand, your tongue, your heart, everything, put into it and try to smash the material conception of life by chanting the Maha Mantra as vigorously as possible and see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen. Just like when we teach people the Maha Mantra here, there, and everywhere, we say, okay, now I'm going to teach you this little mantra, and by chanting this, it'll wake up pure love for God in your heart. Are you ready? And the husband says, yep, ready. And he's like, Hare Krishna. The wife goes, Larry, don't do it. It's like, oh, why not, hon? I was like, we don't know what's in it. And we don't know what's in it either, exactly. We just know. We just know that it's the most powerful stuff anywhere. So take full advantage of this foolproof process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, and life will get better one stage at a time until you come to the perfection. Go pray manane alibo.
Natari armarman, natari armarman, natari armarman. Hey, natari armarman, natari armarman, natari armarman, natari armarman.